This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Hour number two of Brock and Salk. It's Bob Stelton, Jake Heaps in for the guys. This hour of the show is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We catch up with Brady Henderson here in a few moments. Also, Jessamyn McIntyre will join us at the bottom of the hour. She's out there. I didn't know she was working. I thought she was just hanging. Figured she'd be checking out the local pubs and having a great time out there, which she still may. But
yeah, I'm sure she
she's actually working. She's going to be out at Seahawks practice, so she'll join us at 8:30. We're going to do open phone lines coming up, which I guess is a big segment here, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a Friday tradition, Bob.
Friday tradition. You just let them go nuts.
The listeners bring it, man.
They dictate the topic.
Yes.
I like it.
And I hope that they bring some great questions for us, because I'm excited.
You want to be just bashed over the head with questions.
I do.
Okay. Well, get ready. Your opportunity comes up in the 9 o'clock hour, so a lot still to come. We've got good news, bad news, no news. All of that is happening as well. And then we'll get into the discussion with the Seahawks and the Oakland Raiders in London. Let's talk about it right now with our buddy from ESPN.com. He's with us on the Venue Kings hotline. Brady Henderson is there. Brady, how are you, man?
Bob and Jake, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Brady? Good to have you on, man.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Hey, let's get the travel portion of this out of the way quickly, because it's a big talking point. Obviously, it's a long time to travel. You're in the air for a long time. I get the time zone and all of that, but how much do you think we'll see that on the field, if at all? And both teams play under those same circumstances, by the way. But there's a lot of fear that that's going to throw off the body clock. It's just not going to be premium football. You're not going to see these guys at their best.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be evident, just for the simple fact that you're going to see both teams having to deal with the same thing. And, the Raiders, I think they left yesterday, so a day after the Seahawks. Pete Carroll said that, look, a lot of study went into that, choosing when they were going to leave and how they were going to sort of try to readjust the players' sleep schedules and stuff. So, the Seahawks, I think they will have had, by game time, they will have had two. That will be their third full day in London. So I don't know. I'm not trying to make light of the difficulty in, playing a game in London. But I don't think it's going to be noticeable enough. I don't think it's going to be severe enough that you're going to notice it, especially just because, look, both of those teams are going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. The travel part has been made such a big deal. And you see the two different ways these franchises have handled it. Seattle obviously left a day earlier than the Raiders. And, it came to my attention that this game typically has always been a blowout in terms of, it's been a lopsided game. And that goes to show me that one team is handling the travel better than the other. Brady, in your mind, how did this conversation go with Doug Baldwin? What was he like when he was asked about the amount of catches that he got last game? How was that conversation? I know he said he was frustrated, but what was the demeanor of Doug Baldwin?
Yeah, I think he was pretty matter of fact about that. He wasn't, he wasn't visibly frustrated in that moment, but the question was, I think it was in the context of the Seahawks running the ball, more often than they have been. I think, Russell Wilson's only thrown the ball the past three games 26, 26, and 21 times. And the question to Doug was, if the Seahawks are going to run the ball as much as they have been, if they're going to keep doing that, is he ready for an adjustment in targets? And he said, honestly, no. And he talked about how, the frustration that he had post-game, which I think was evident if you were in the locker room. He said that was partly about the fact that they lost a close game and the fact that he had only one target. And Doug has been an advocate of the Seahawks running the ball for a long time, which, may seem counterintuitive for, a number one wide receiver to say that, he wants the Seahawks to run the ball. At the same time, just like any receiver, and he made this point, I wouldn't be worth my salt as a receiver, if I didn't want the ball more. So, it's kind of both things there. He wants to win, he wants to run the ball, but I think like any number one receiver, he wants the ball more than one target. And look, I think that was probably more of an anomaly than anything. Pete Carroll, or I think actually it was Doug himself, said that there were several plays where he was double covered, and that ended up opening up things for Tyler Lockett, for David Moore. So, and he was also, you know, he said his knee is fine. Pete Carroll was pretty emphatic that, you know, when he said that Baldwin's health had nothing to do with that. So, you know, maybe Baldwin has also said that he's probably going to have to deal with that knee injury all season. One of the two knee injuries he's had. He said he's going to have to manage that all season. So, you know, it's fair to wonder if maybe he's playing at you know, significantly less than 100%. But I think him getting one target, that was probably more of an anomaly than anything.
Hey, Brady, I think we debated this with Jake and Kyle last time we did the show about Rashad Penny's role on this team, and that, you know, hey, he's a number one pick. So as a number one, or a first round pick, excuse me, he should have an impact. He should be out there playing and having an impact. And I look at it more like a luxury that, all right, you don't have to put that on his shoulders. He can kind of sit back and learn because the guys in front of him are having success. And I wouldn't want to tinker with that until they prove that they're not going to go out there and do what they've been doing the last three games. I don't feel the urgency to get him in there. How do you view his role?
Yeah, well, it's a luxury, Bob. I agree with you there. It's a luxury that, you know, if history is any indication, that's going to be a necessity at some point. And I think that goes back to the decision that they made to draft him. A big part of that decision was they realized that, you know, their backfield has been riddled with injuries over the past two seasons. Really, you could go back to 2015 when Marshawn Lynch got hurt and then Thomas Rawls got hurt, you know, after replacing him. So they felt like, you know, given what's happened in their backfield, they felt like they had to take a running back. And by the way, they took one who had played in 54 of a possible 54 games in college. So, yeah, you would certainly like to have your number one pick more involved than he has been. And I think the fact that he hasn't really done a whole lot, it does make you revisit that decision and say, gosh, you know, what if they had taken a pass rusher, or what if they had taken – you know, a linebacker, two positions where you feel like, you know, they could be getting contributions from a number one pick right now. Of course, it's never that simple. You know, it was not a great draft for pass rushers. We talked about this last time. It was really not a great draft for pass rushers. There wasn't really a good cornerback option for them in the first round. So, you know, you can understand why they took a running back. And, the fact that he hasn't really been involved so far, I would not expect that to continue, just for the simple fact that, look, we've seen how injuries have hit this backfield, and if history is indication, they're gonna have to call on him at some point.
Brady, have we gotten any update or any further explanation as what's going on with KJ Wright? I mean, it just seems like it was supposed to be 2 weeks. It was gonna be a no big deal scope surgery. And obviously something has gone awry. Have we gotten any explanation on this issue?
No, not a clear one, Jake. And when Carroll, you know, when he first was sidelined because of that injury, Carroll did say the timeline he mentioned was a couple weeks, but I think he did sort of qualify that by saying that would be the absolute best case scenario. And another thing there is that, you know, Pete, you know, Jake, I'm sure you've probably heard this, you know, he tends to talk about injuries in the best case scenario, right? He's positive about everything, including injuries. And you know, he tends to sort of look on the bright side there, and he probably errs on the side of, you know, the shortest possible timetable. So, it does make you wonder if there was a little bit of a setback there, just because, you know, it was 2 weeks. That was in late August. And so, you know, even if he was being conservative with the earth being aggressive with the timetable there, you figured that, you know, the conservative estimate of that would have still put him back by now. You know, I wonder if part of it was they felt like while they had Michael Kendricks still available, they weren't rushing him back just because Kendricks was playing well. And if they had a guy who was replacing him and playing well, it would have made sense to not rush KJ right back. But, you know, I don't know how much that would be the case now that Michael Kendricks is suspended. So it sounds like from what Carroll said, you know, earlier this week that they feel like there's a good chance they're going to have him back after the bye. He said there's no sense in rushing him back for this game when they're going to have a week off after that. So it sounds like they're going to have him back. But again, like you said, that's a lot longer than what it sounded like initially.
Brady Henderson of ESPN.com is our guest here. It is Bob Stelton and Jake Heaps in for Brock and Salk. Hey, for I don't know how many years it's been, the offensive line, in my opinion, has been their biggest shortcoming. It's been the area of need That doesn't seem to be the case now, and now it feels like it's the pass rush. And we've talked about this during the week. What do you do? Because it doesn't feel like they've got the personnel to really change, or, you know, other than scheming differently, whether they start blitzing more, they get more aggressive, because you've got who you've got. There's nobody waiting on the bench. There's nobody where you're like, all right, let's let this guy have a crack at it. It just doesn't seem to exist. Nas Jones, I don't know what happened with him. He's in the doghouse. He's a healthy scratch. You're relying on Jacob Martin to pick up some slack. Rashim Green is a rookie who's hurt. It's a lot to ask of a rookie. So it seems like it comes down to Quentin Jefferson, Jaren Reed, and Frank Clark to get things done.
Yeah, and this is really, you know, the biggest fear that I think a lot of people had all offseason. This is the biggest fear coming to fruition, because, you know, this seemed like this would be their biggest deficiency on defense. When you lose Michael Bennett, you lose Cliff Averill, Sheldon Richardson leaves in free agency, you never got anything from Malik McDowell. And, you know, they did make some moves to address that pass rush with Barkevious Mingo, I'm blanking on somebody else there too, but Tom Johnson was the other guy that they made. And like you said, it was a curious move, you know, that he's not there anymore. Nas Jones, you haven't really got anything from him. I guess the one guy that maybe you would expect to get more out of, or hope to get more out of at this point, is Deion Jordan. And he's kind of been slow to come off. You know, he had a couple of leg injuries, didn't practice the entire off season. So, you know, I think with Deion Jordan, it seems like you're reaching the point where anything you get from him, you kind of have to consider a bonus at this point. And, you know, unfortunately for them, you'd like to have that sort of luxury item when, you know, you've got a really good edge rusher, what you do in Frank Clark, but then you also have a couple complimentary guys. You know, it seemed like they were counting on him to be their number two edge rusher. And that's just, you know, that has not worked out well for them. So as far as how they get better, you know, maybe it's blitzing more. We have seen them, you know, get aggressive with some blitzes with Justin Coleman. We even saw them, you know, I saw Earl Thomas, you know, blitz a few times when he was still healthy, which was something that I don't recall seeing a ton of, you know, earlier in his career. So it seems like there is a willingness to get creative there. And that's probably going to have to entail, you know, manufacturing more pressure, just because it's been a struggle to get it with their front four. And another point I'll make on that is Michael Kendricks was a pretty good blitzer. That was the book on him.
Yeah.
You know, going back to his days in Philadelphia, and you saw him get a couple sacks right off the bat. And so that's just one fewer person that you have there to help out with that. So again, I think you're going to have to see them manufacture pass rush, and hope that they can get more than what they've gotten from Deion Jordan.
Yeah, that's a great point. Losing Kendricks was a big one. You had two great blitzing linebackers in Bobby Wagner and Kendricks, and losing Kendricks was definitely a big blow. Not getting KJ Wright to come back into the fold.
Yeah, and I left out Deion Jordan because he was absent last week.
Right. Yeah.
He was on.
You've done that twice now. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
It's not intentional, but it's true.
It's just like,
I forgot he was back.
Where is this guy? Hey Brady, you tweeted out a pretty cool deal. You know, Dwayne Brown announcing that the Seahawks Players Fund donated a total of $225,000 to eight organizations. Kind of talk about that. What exactly, explain that to the listeners, and what happened in that situation?
Yeah, so my understanding that's part of the players fund that they created. I want to say it was in the beginning of last season, so September of 2017, and this was their fall round of grants. And this is all what Dwayne Brown said on the podium a couple days ago. That was, you know, I think the players fund, between the players fund and the team itself, they go through and they vet a bunch of different organizations, and they decided on their eight recipients of their grants. And he said the grants range from $25,000 to $50,000. It was organizations focusing on homelessness, bail reform, criminal justice, and education, I think, were the four, and there may be one I'm missing there. But this was their fall round of grants, and, you know, this was, I think the Seahawks created this, you know, last year, and it had been in the works for a while because, you know, they wanted to do something that was actionable, as opposed to, you know, it went beyond the demonstrations and, you know, talking about making a difference, and it was actually, you know, something with a goal of physically making a difference. And so, this was their fall round of grants. So this is not just a one-time thing. It's, you know, I think at the time, you know, when they created it, Pete Carroll was saying that, you know, they feel like they've made a statement and now they want to make a difference. And so this is them, you know, trying to make a difference.
Brady, good stuff, man. We appreciate it very much. Now you can go back to bed.
Okay, I am actually going to do that.
Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate you.
See you, buddy.
You bet. Thanks, Jake.
There he is, Brady Henderson of ESPN.com. Does a really good job covering the team for ESPN and touched on Doug Baldwin in that conversation. And it brings up the question, is his role changing with his team? He's been the security blanket, whether there's tension or not him and Russell. He's been the man. He's earned that title. To me, he's got some of the best hands in the entire league.
Yeah.
I mean, elite-level hands. I'm not saying he's Julio Jones in terms of speed, size, and that, but he's incredibly quick out of the breaks. I think he runs great routes, great hands.
Yeah.
But do you see his role changing as Tyler Lockett, in his absence, sort of establishing himself and developing that comfort level with Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I think this is something that has definitely been a question for everyone, and what's going on with Doug Baldwin and what's his role going to be like, all these things. And obviously, Salk has, over the past day or two, has really gone after Doug, in terms of this relationship.
Is that all about the backpack? Is that where that came from?
This current iteration came from the
backpack. That's what set him off
this
recently.
This is a year after year thing. Yeah.
That he had the audacity to tell the story.
The gas has been poured. It just was that lighter that just ignited it. I think with all that being said, I think Russell and Doug still have a good relationship. I think Russell's one of those guys that just totally looks beyond all that stuff for the most part. And he just wants to win football games. Him and Doug just want to win football games. And the interesting thing that has happened is you look at, okay, 2014 is when Doug Baldwin started really going on the uptick in terms of his production. 66 receptions, over 800 yards. Then 2015, 78 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 14 touchdowns. 2016, 94 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. Last year, 8 touchdowns with 75 receptions. As during that time frame, they began to open up the offense. And they began, Darrell Bevell started making this offense more pass-centric. And it was largely due to the personnel that they had. The offensive line was horrendous. They had no running game.
Yeah.
And they had to rely on the pass game. But the other thing that was happening is that this was one thing that I thought Darrell Bevell did a good job with, was that even though when they were a run-oriented team.
He did a good job with something?
Yeah,
with
man.
With what?
I've heard he doesn't know anything about football. That's what I
heard.
Come
on, guys. Come on.
The texters and tweeters have told me Darrell Bevell was just in the world of football, just ignorant. Yeah. Didn't know a thing. Yeah. You didn't get that message?
No, I did not get that message. Okay. I understand why people were frustrated, and I get the reason why people moved on. But, the one thing that he did really well in terms of being able to incorporate that when everything was going right was the drop back pass game. He featured Doug Baldwin and found ways to get him the ball and move him around in different spots. When I watch this offense right now, they've been trying to find their identity on offense, and I think they found that, no question, and where they're going to move moving forward. But the interesting thing is Tyler Lockett's being put in a position to stretch the ball, stretch the field vertically, mm-hmm. Putting him in positions of what he does really well. And it just so happens that Doug just hasn't been open a whole lot. And when he's been open, the ball just hasn't come his way, and it hasn't been necessarily negative, right? You look at the second touchdown to David Moore. David Moore obviously clearly burned Marcus Peters, and it was a wide-open touchdown. But Doug Baldwin beat Sam Shields on the other side too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Doug's not doing well and he's not being productive. He's a productive football player, and he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. I promise you. Doug is one of the more underrated, more undervalued receivers in this league. What he does at the line of scrimmage is better than anybody, in my opinion. He's special in certain areas. And I just think that it'll be interesting to see how this offense progresses in terms of his drop back pass game. And if it's going to be any good, it's because they're finding ways to get Doug Baldwin the ball. They have to find Doug Baldwin.
Does he look, and I know he talked about the knee injury and Brady touched on that, where they just said kind of the initial knee injury
right.
would be something he'd deal with all season. Have you, mm-hmm. is it obvious to your eye that he's compromised physically, or does he look the same?
No, I mean, I know off the field it's something that he's definitely dealing with. Like, he, there's no question. And he's having to work hard and getting himself recovered and getting himself ready to go each and every single Sunday. But it has not affected his on-field play. When I watch him, it has not affected his on-field play. The only thing that I saw was his first game back in Arizona when, you know, the first third down, he was short of the sticks, and that's something Doug never does.
A couple of times.
Right? That's something he never does. The second time was a slant route. That's not necessarily his fault. That's just what happened. It was a bang-bang play. But the first one was definitely on him. He didn't get to the depth of where that route's supposed to be. But outside of that, I haven't seen anything wrong with Doug Baldwin where, man, this guy isn't the same guy. He's injury-ridden. You know, he's not the same Doug Baldwin. He still is that same Doug Baldwin that can be extremely productive, that can get, you know, over 100 receptions for you. It's just a matter of the identity of this offense and his role in this offense. And that to me, is going to be the thing to watch.
I think he's still, and we're getting texts, people saying, get rid of him. He's becoming a loudmouth like Richard Sherman. I don't see him as that at all.
No, not at all. I mean,
he's got a tremendous amount of value to this offense.
A tremendous amount of value. And they're not getting rid of him. I know Salk said I would be surprised to see him on the team next year. And maybe Salk's up to something. But I have a really hard time.
Yo, he's up to something.
I have a really, really hard time.
What are you up to, Mike?
He's up to no good.
I don't know what he's up to. But I cannot see Doug Baldwin not being on this football team next year and moving forward. They signed him to his third-year deal. He's one of those guys that this franchise really values and really values his leadership and has instilled, again, has the ability to be an extremely productive player. But this offense right now is not allowing Doug Baldwin to be who he is. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not saying that this offense is going down the wrong path by any means. They just need to find ways to get Doug into this game plan, because once they do, it makes this team, that makes this offense that much better.
One note that Brady put out there a bit ago, we didn't get a chance to ask him about, but Cam Chancellor traveling with the team to London.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I think is very cool. And he's got a quote here from Pete Carroll. Said he's been an important presence through his playing career. He's been with the team all year. Traveling with us now is just another statement of how we want him connected to us. We'd like him to be connected to us always. He helps young guys. He helps old guys. He helps coaches. He's just one of the guys that has a way about him. It fits. It makes other people play better and do better. He's an inspiration and a great guy to have with us.
Yeah.
Which I think is very cool, because we were talking about this when we weren't certain whether he would come back or not. And my feeling was, man, I don't. First of all, you love the guy. I don't want to see him risk it. If there's any chance out of the ordinary, if his chances went up that he's going to suffer a catastrophic injury, I hope he doesn't even consider playing. Which,
yeah,
obviously he's not playing. But I think he'd be a fantastic coach. I don't know about his demeanor vocally, but
right,
he's a guy who played the right way, who just had the respect.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that better than anybody. He just seemed to. He was a man of few words. His actions spoke volumes, and
right,
I think that would go a long way into helping this team. I'd love to see him on the staff.
Well, he has. There's no question about his presence. His presence is felt everywhere he goes. And he was a tremendous teammate. He was a guy that, you know, like you said, he didn't. You know, he wasn't boisterous. He didn't talk a lot. But everybody on that team respected him. And I think to have a guy like that in that room with a very youthful DB group, I think is a great thing for them. And by the way, hey, Cam Chancellor's still getting paid, and you know, it's a good way to keep him around and having him earn that paycheck a little bit. But I think it's a great thing for this team, and Pete Carroll loves having former players, guys that were guys that, one, know the game really well, but also were respected by his peers. I know he loves to have those guys around, and I would love to see Cam Chancellor have more of a presence in that building and be around more often, because I think he can have a great impact on this DB group.
Yeah, very cool thing. Very cool thing to see. Meanwhile, we spoke to somebody over in London earlier with John Clayton. We're going to do it again. We're going back across the pond. Jessamyn McIntyre, who was out there with the Seahawks watching practice today. She's going to join us next when we continue with Brock and Salk. It's Bob Stelton and Jake Heaps with you.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
live from the Alaska Airlines Studios,
streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
call the local pub. Whatever's closest to the practice field. Perhaps that's where she is. We're efforting Jessamine McIntyre here. It is Brock and Saul.
She just
Fox, Felton, and Jake
4 Heaps. Minutes ago.
Well, you're calling overseas. It's a little trickier than calling down the street. We'll get her on the phone here in a moment. This hour of the show, by the way, is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Get your questions ready. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we open up the phone lines. I guess that's the tradition here with Brock and Salk. Have you been a part of that before?
I have been a part of it.
How'd it go?
It's fun. It's always hit or miss. You know, you never know what you're going to get. So I hope the callers bring it today.
Do you feel like they try to get dirt from you? Like, what's Russell really? does Doug really do this, or is it anything like that where they're just trying to get the inside dirt?
Honestly, I haven't had anybody ask me too many like detailed questions. It's been overall, I think everybody just wants to get their thought out. You know, this is my thought. This is what I think everybody needs to do. You know, they won't try to get their thought out. And
that's what I was just doing to you, Jake. Yeah. I was just giving you my thoughts on the things that your life is about.
In the commercial break, it was true.
Howdy was telling you how your life is?
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't seem weird at all.
You know, and sometimes it's good to hear some outside perspective.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you guy you trust? Do you believe?
We're working on it. Our relationship is building. We're building. You know, it's been good so far.
He's got your best interests at heart.
That's right. Okay. At least he's made me to believe that.
Yeah, he's good at that. All right, we've located her. She is with us. She's on the Venue Kings hotline. You hear her with Danny, Dave, and Moore, and she's over there in London. Jessamine McIntyre's there. Jess, how are you?
Yeah, I got to turn off my Find My Friends app. I thought I couldn't get far enough away from you guys, but you tracked me down.
Wow. Is that how this is going to start? We miss you. We're hoping you're having a great time, and then you just talk about wanting distance.
Well, don't worry. I am having a great time. But you know who you called. You know who you called.
Yes, I do. You are out there at practice, or you were at practice. What anything stand out to you? Obviously, everybody is very interested to see if they do anything defensively to help that pass rush, which has been absent. But what was your takeaway from practice?
Well, I mean, you're not going to see a ton of technical stuff on, you know, a long trip, and it's pretty basic out there. So I wasn't really sensing any feel for the defensive schematics or anything. But I will tell you this, that there was a huge media contingency here. And as much as we are far away from U.S. football, I mean, we do have a lot of appreciation for American football here. You can tell that the local media does pay a lot of attention. It's not just, hey, we're here for the fanfare and we're here for the spectacle of American football. There are real fans out here, and it's not just the few 12s you see wearing jerseys. It's the people out here who cover sports as a whole really gravitate towards the NFL.
Yeah, that's awesome. How is the... In your opinion, how have the players responded? How have the coaches responded to being over there, their traveling situation? How do you think those guys are handling everything right now?
Really well, honestly, Jake. It doesn't really seem like it's more than a West to East Coast trip. I mean, obviously it is, but they kept them up yesterday. Russell Wilson told everybody he spoke after practice that he got 7 hours of sleep.
No way, Jess.
See, I don't think he's ever slept that long in his entire life in one night. So,
no time to sleep, baby. No time to sleep.
You're going to have to lop off 2 letters from that hashtag. He had some time to sleep.
That's awesome.
Hey, are you keeping an eye on Lydia? Because she's a well-known troublemaker. So I just want to make sure there's international incident going on.
Yeah, that rapscallion. I put a tag on her. Don't worry. I found a microchip.
What's it like out there? I mean, just give us a scene setter. Tell us the environment, how people are taking to you, the foreigner out there. How's that going?
It's wonderful. This city is great. And honestly, the weather is a lot like it has been in Seattle right now, where you expect it to be rainy, but all of a sudden it's like a real fall. And I don't know if it's because we're, you know, on the same latitude that we get that similar weather, but it has been absolutely beautiful. It's just a breezy day here. The leaves are just changing colors. We just have a lot more deciduous than evergreen over here, so it's nice and lush. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I think you guys would love this city. It is way more spread out than New York, but huge population. And everybody's really nice. I love traveling so much, and I forgot that this is a situation where I can speak the language of the country. That really comes in handy when you're traveling.
Has anybody said anything to you that it's just been like, wait, what? Is that even English? What did you say?
a few people, but it wasn't people who are English, because that accent translates pretty well. But this is a very multicultural city, so there are a ton of people from a bunch of different places, all who speak English, but a lot of different accents to decipher. But we have a lot of fun with it. There was a big group of us out last night having dinner, and we talked to a lot of people who were local, who live locally but are from all over. And you can hear later on today on Danny, Dave, and More, we did a few interviews with a BBC reporter who gave us the slang translation, so we know not to step in it by accident, because there are certain words that you might not be able to get away with.
Now, how's the food out there? I've always heard, they boil everything. Everything's boiled. I don't know if that's just a myth or what goes on out there with their cuisine. Is it good or is it not great?
Yeah, I would say that's a myth when it comes to the city. I think you're probably hear that about the traditional English food, but it's fantastic. There's a heavy Indian influence, so you get a lot of really, really good Indian food here. But you can get your typical fare in any of these places. It's just the names of it. They're a little different. But we actually had lunch with Jordan Babineau, who does the Seahawks pre and post game yesterday, and he had a driver, because he's big play Babs and everything, and he took us to the best fish and chip, best fish and chips shop in the city. So it was like this secret little back alley place, which was actually owned and run by a Greek guy, multicultural, like I said. Mm-hmm. But he gave us, it was about 8 pounds of fish and chips each. It was outstanding, and I'm pacing right now during this interview trying to still walk it off.
Hey, let's get some football questions thrown at you here.
Go for it.
I just saw that you were tweeting about Russell being on the podium and everything, talking about mm-hmm. Drew Brees. Could you get the sense of how much that guy meant to him in particular from, you know, his accomplishments, this past Monday night? Could you feel that from Russell?
Yeah, 100%. I think that he's actually expressed his appreciation for Drew throughout his career, because everyone wanted to talk about Russell's height. And, you know, Drew Brees was a short quarterback before short quarterbacks were a thing, and made it happen and showed that he could be successful in spite of it and actually use it to his advantage. And Russell has long echoed his praise for Drew Brees, and seeing him pass that milestone, he had a special glint in his eye. You know, Russell's a very prepared guy. He speaks with complete intention every single time he does, but he had some real genuine affinity for Drew, and you could see it. He talked about Drew's family. He clearly has known him for quite a while. Really, really has some great appreciation for him, and it's not just because of the height thing. You know, he appreciates greatness.
Jess, good stuff. We appreciate it. Have fun out there. Get out of your comfort zone and check out some of the pubs.
Me? Yeah. there's a bar still somewhere with my name on it. I'll tell you what, guys.
All right. Have some fun.
We'll talk to you when you get back.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. There's Jessamyn McIntyre out there at Seahawks practice and sampling the local fare and all of that. Have you been there? Have you been to London?
I haven't been to
London. I've never been there. Somebody said we sound like we're doing radio in the 70s because London's one of the greatest food cities in the world. I'm like, okay. I've never been there.
We haven't been there. Sorry, guys. Jeez. We're just asking questions over here.
Is it considered one of the greatest food cities in the world?
Not by me, no.
Have you been there?
I have.
You have? You weren't dazzled?
I don't know if Kyle's the
like
best guy to ask this
question. Sausage and weird stuff. Yeah, I mean, I don't eat anything. I don't eat ketchup or mustard or anything, so maybe I'm not the guy.
Have you been there, James?
Oh, no, I'll never go.
You'll never go. Why?
Oh, no.
Bad food.
See, you're going to upset the texter now. Said it's one of the disgusting. Greatest food cities. I don't have to tell you. They would know. All right, coming up, you know what it is. It's good news. It's bad news. It's no news. It's up next. It's Brock and Salk with Bob Stelton and Jake Heaps.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
It is good news, bad news, no news. Coming up at the top of the hour, we open up the phone lines to you. Apparently, anything goes.
Anything goes,
so
man.
Take that and run with it. There you go.
Good news, bad news, no news.
University of Washington cornerback Austin Joyner is medically retiring due to concussions.
Man, this is bad news. It's obviously you never want to see a young kid having to retire, end his football career early due to concussions. And, on top of that, Austin Joyner was a pretty talented player. He had a pretty bright future ahead of him. So it's just a bummer. You don't want to see that, especially a local kid, Marysville Pilchuck. Feel for him. I wish him all the best. And, UW will recover. They're going to recruit another round of top-level cornerbacks and all that, but feel for Austin Joyner.
It's horrible news. Horrible news, because you've got to imagine, and I don't know him, and I don't know what his aspirations were, but when you're playing at that level at a school like UW, you're probably expecting hoping to take it to the next level.
Like I said, he was a top-flight player. Right. You know, he wasn't in the starting rotation, but he was going to be a good player.
So to have those dreams dashed, to be medically retired at that young age in your early... How old is he?
Yeah, 20? Gosh.
Probably 20, 21 maybe.
Yeah.
That's awful, man. That's awful, and I hope nothing but the best for the kid, and hopefully he's got a fallback in mind. You know, I'm sure he's very smart. He's going to get a great education, and hopefully he can transfer into something he's got some passion for, because to have your dreams dashed at that age is brutal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott has ordered a review of the conference's instant replay process.
It's the least he could do, right? I mean, this looks bad. Is there anything he's done that he's received praise for that anybody goes,
well, at the
you know
time,
what, good job?
When he expanded, added Colorado, Utah, and then Pac-12 Network, everything looked really promising.
Started with a bang.
At the very beginning, he was
all
He
almost went Pac-16 with like Oklahoma and Texas. Yeah. It was like, this guy is revolutionary.
And now he's sort of a punchline. Now he's a target. He's a punching bag.
Yes. And I would hope so, that they would review this whole situation. And, I have no confidence that the review, quote unquote, is going to solve anything. I just don't have any trust with this guy. I don't think he's done a very good job up to this point with the Pac-12. I think it's time to move on from him. It's just getting frustrating listening to him. It's almost condescending how he talks to everybody, how he talks to the public on how
it's
these,
really like
how
smarmy.
All these. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just.
Is he defiant?
Yes.
I've been great and you guys don't know what you're talking about?
Absolutely. That's how it's been. It's just like, dude, come on. Let's move on.
How's that network doing?
Not well, Bob.
Oh, come on. Larry Scott, it's going great, according to him.
Is it?
Well, the biggest issue is all this revenue that they promised, and schools like Wazoo in particular, and a lot of the conference started building new football operations centers, a new expansion on
the stadium,
thinking
revenue.
This money's coming, and now we've seen UW and WSU taking a loss in the athletic department.
And it's not even on the second biggest carrier that exists out there, DirecTV. I had DirecTV for years until I just moved. And now I have the Pac-12 network, but I couldn't get it for years. And, you know, this is just a...
interesting when it's supposed
drawn
to be
a line in the sand.
It's supposed to be a marquee conference. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, thanks, Larry Scott. Mm.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Seahawks tight end Nick Vinette didn't practice today, but Pete Carroll says he'll play on Sunday.
To me, this is good news. It has to be good news. I mean, for him to not play would be a huge blow. I mean, you got to have this guy out there. I mean, they only have him and Darrell Daniels. That's it. That's all they've got in terms of receiving tight end, unless you think George Fant. Unless he's going out for passes. I don't know, but it's good news.
Yeah, I guess you're going to err on the side of caution. He's not practicing, so get him ready for the game. It'll be interesting to see how much they incorporate him into the game plan, if he's physically limited at all.
Yeah.
You've got a running game that you can lean on right now, it feels like. So
correct, and you're going to put George Fant. I would expect to see a lot of George Fant out there at tight end, just mauling people, getting on double teams with Jermaine Ifedi. It was fun to watch the tape. When I went back and watched the All-22 tape, it was really fun to watch that run game.
Good news, bad news, no news.
After the post-fight melee last Saturday, both McGregor and Khabib have been temporarily suspended.
You didn't want to say his last name?
Who, Connor?
Nurmagomedov.
Connor McGregor?
what was that, James?
Not going to work here anymore.
Nurmagomedov.
Khabib
Nurmagomedov. Yeah, temporarily. It's nothing. It's no news. Because often if you take any sort of blow, any sort of damage in a fight, there's an automatic medical suspension.
Yeah.
I think the minimum's 30 days. Sometimes it'll be 60 if you sustain a cut. It'll be 90 days. So you're not jumping back into the cage the next week. So this is nothing. They're going to take, especially fighters at this level. Right. They're not turning right around, getting right back into training camp and fighting again. So they take time off. They just made a boatload of money. They're going to be fine. This means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing. And it's not going to prevent them from making more money in the future. It's not stopping them at all.
No,
and they're probably going to get another rematch in all of this. And you know, I mean, obviously, UFC is so much different in terms of the mentality and all these things. But this was definitely a stain on it. And unfortunately, to me, it has just made this such a bigger thing, and they're just going to make more money because this happened.
Which is interesting because the fight really wasn't that competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, Khabib dominated the fight. I mean, there were very few solid moments for Conor. And I love Conor, but he got dominated. So it wasn't like, hey, man, we got to run that one back because that was close. No, it wasn't close.
Well, they're going to run it back because of what happened at the end. That's the only reason why that's going to happen.
Yeah, so the suspension as it sits right now means nothing. Khabib is facing a potential suspension for what took place, for him jumping over the cage into the crowd. You endanger innocent bystanders, you're going to get suspended. There'll be a suspension. Now, whether it impacts his next fight, because, again, they take enough time off, they'll be fine. So it's just not a big deal.
Yeah.
Not a big deal at all. All right. We're going to do it. We're opening up phone lines for you. I guess any question you've got, any topic you want it to be on.
Bring it on. We're ready.
Now is
Bob
the time.
Bob and I are ready.
Ready for questions. 421-3776.
Bob's been doing push-ups and dips and sit-ups. Right. He's getting physically ready for this.
Well, how do you get ready to answer questions?
I don't know. I just try and I do a lot of calculations in my head.
All right. 421-3776. Toll free 866-979-3776. Open phone lines. Any topic, any subject. Coming your way next, it's Brock and Salk with Bob Stelton and Jake Heaps.